Cape Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Revolution with Juan McCartney is sponsored by J.S. Johnson, Commonwealth Bank, Burger King, Ron's Electric Motors, Wendy's, Fidelity Bank Bahamas, Airborne Freight and Cargo Services, the Digital Transformation Unit, and CFAL.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to The Revolution here on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. My name is Juan McCartney. So good to have you with us. I want to say to you that Valentine's Day is coming up, and if you're like me, who's got Christmas, and then my son's birthday a few weeks after Christmas, then you turn around and it's Valentine's Day. They just find something to like always take money out your pocket. That's what they're sitting around going, huh? You know, I notice people ain't really spending a bunch of money in January and February on stuff they really don't need. Let's come up with something. Let's do it in February. Let's do it in February, because Easter coming up, the end of April-ish round there. That's when Easter is, right? Anyway, if you like me, you're trying to catch your breath after Christmas. If you have a birthday or whatever in January, you're trying to catch your breath. And so Valentine's Day comes up, and you know, you probably have this thing, maybe. If you're married, well, it depends. Some people do Valentine's Day hardcore and some people don't. I tend not to, right? So, because when I met my wife, she was telling me, I don't really like Valentine's Day, right? And she was with that for like a year or two. And then like come Valentine's Day, other people started getting stuff and she didn't get any. It was like, you know, didn't say anything, but it was a thing. So I, you know, do flowers, do something simple. Some people just run out. They just do dinner and all this other stuff. Anyway, if you like me trying to catch your breath, right? For Valentine's Day. So I just want to send a shout out to you guys and let you know that Bamboo Shack has a $25 special. Two spicy cracked chicken snacks with spicy cracked shrimp for $25. Fat included. You listening to me, Arlie? This is how you say, I love you. Two spicy cracked chicken snacks with spicy cracked shrimp for $25, VAT included, from February 9th to 14th. Go ahead and spoiler. This says, oh, wait, someone said to me something. A voice note. The gist is Smith was not the first to make that kind of salary, not saying it's right or wrong, but Bethel and Poitier would have made more. Is it because she's a woman help? Who? Bethel and Poitier? You're talking about K4 Smith. Oh, we're going to talk about K4 Smith today. I don't care what anyone made. I don't care what the director of Inland Revenue made. I don't care what the VAT consultants from New Zealand made. I don't care what the chairman of the gaming board makes. I don't care what anybody makes. What I'm saying is this. I need to know if my money was spent wisely. Okay? Now, Anton, before you call me, let's do it. I want to do an exercise. If Anton calls me today and said he didn't listen to my show, but he still wants to talk, we're going to cut him off. Because you don't get to not listen to the show and just call in and talk. So we're going to do that today. Because he was mad that I cut him off yesterday, but I had to cut him off because I said at the outset that if you call anyone corrupt, which was like the fourth or fifth word out of his mouth, was calling somebody corrupt, we're going to cut you off. So if you don't listen to the show, Anton, you call me and you tell me you haven't been listening to the show, I'm going to cut you off. Because I want to say this. I went to the gym early today, and I was listening to Dwight's show, and I heard Anton call in, and I get it. Like, when I'm here, it sounds different than it does when you're listening to it on the radio. And I heard him breathlessly speaking for about 4 minutes straight while Dwight tried to interject, talking about how we need to get out of this thing where Bahamian shouldn't make salaries and all this other stuff like that. You know what? I think that's right. I think he's right. We should get out of this thing where Bahamians don't make salaries that are in comparison to other people in fields all around. I think that's a great, great thing to say and to be about. Here's what I'd like to do, though. I'd like to start that with people who have jobs that are actually proven to be very difficult and onerous and should be well rewarded, right? As opposed to just saying that when it's convenient for us to justify why we gave someone we like a particular job at a particular salary that doesn't make any sense whatsoever. I'd like us to try to hold the line on that and try to always, always make sense of it. Because here's what I want to know. If we're paying people what they're worth, then tell me how much the commissioner of police makes. Right? So the commissioner of police, I can tell you, makes $85,000 a year. Yeah? So is the commission, here's where we're justifying it. And I've seen what commissioners of police make in other places, and it's much more. So I've seen the commissioner of police, the current commissioner of police, Paul Roll, for well over a decade. I've seen Paul Roll work 7 days a week, show up at scene after crime scene at 2 o'clock in the morning, 3 o'clock in the morning, go out to sea, chase the barefoot bandit, work his way up through the ranks, head the task force. All this. So Paul Roll, after being on the force for what, 30 years, his salary is $85,000 a year. But the Disaster Reconstruction Authority gets formed, and months later, the managing director of the Disaster Reconstruction Authority gets $110,000 a year, plus a $30,000 housing allowance. Mind you, there are two DRA offices on Grand Bahama, plus a duty allowance of $1,250 a month, right? Based on what? Is that job harder than the commissioner of police job? Is that job harder than the director of immigration's job? Is that job harder than the commodore of the defense forces job? He doesn't make that. He's got 1,500 Marines under his command, hundreds of millions of dollars worth of equipment, numerous bases to staff and logistics and embassies and different posts to take care of. He doesn't make that. The leader of the opposition doesn't make that. The controller of customs, who's responsible for bringing in hundreds of millions of dollars of revenue, don't make that. The director of Inland Revenue doesn't make that. No cabinet minister makes it. The only person who makes more than that who's in cabinet would be the prime minister. Maybe the DPM is getting extra something too. I'm not sure. I'd have to look it up. So miss me with the, is it because she's a woman and she getting paid? Nah. It's because I don't know what you do. And from where I'm sitting, what you do ain't the same as what other people do who don't make what you make. And you ain't been on the force for 30 years like Paul Rowe to climb your rank. You were running the Senate. You were president of the Senate. And that's no shade. But that's just to say, am I watching your money? Yeah, I'm watching your money. Because it's my money. Right? I'm paying you the money. I don't mind nobody getting money, but make it make sense for me. So you're going to miss me with all that about stop looking at what the salary bit. Nah, we're not going to do that. And when you start paying the commissioner of police what he's supposed to get paid, when you start paying the commodore of the defense force what he's supposed to get paid, we can start talking. But you can't just jump up and go, yo, I'm going to do the DRA and get more than everybody else. Come on now. It don't work like that. So I don't care. I don't care whoever else got paid. I'm focusing on what's right in front of me. From what I see, you're getting paid more than a lot of other people to not deliver results. Because when I talk to the people on Grand Bahama and I talk to the people on Abaco, they're not satisfied with the job the DRA did. And we're going to talk about some other things to do with the DRA. But I'm just going to start from off top. You're not going to voodoo me, right, and go, that's your lone belief, foreigner, or try to, like, make me feel bad, like, because it's a woman. Because last I checked, Darnell Osborne was a woman, right? And when Desmond Bannister got up and say, Darnell Osborne wanted us to pay for her makeup, y'all went, well, Jesus Christ, look at this greedy, avaricious woman who wants us to pay for her makeup. What would that have been on a good day? If she got like the guys from Mac to come down, it'd have been like $500. And he sure threw that in your face, didn't he? She wanted us to pay for her makeup. And y'all are all like, how dare she? Remember, she was a woman? No? I didn't get your claims of misogyny then. You don't remember that? Remember? Her makeup? How it was egregious. Desmond Bannister puffed his chest out like he was revealing the greatest wrong in the history of the world. And she gets a $30,000 a year housing allowance, and we're not supposed to talk about that? Because she's a woman? What happened to equality? That just blows by us, right? Whatever. You know what the worst part about all this is, right? About the DRA and all this, and we're going to talk about this. It's that when September 17th happened, do you remember the show I had on September 17th? Do you remember my message to you, the FNM and the country, was let's move on, right? From Hubert Minnis, right? He was a terrible prime minister. He was petty, vindictive, right? Often wasn't frank and honest, was rude, couldn't speak properly. I hope he's listening now. These are my truest thoughts, my truest feelings, like Tupac said. And I wanted to move on, but we don't get to move on because now we got to figure out what went on with the Disaster Reconstruction Authority, understanding what happened to millions and millions and millions of dollars while y'all try clown me talking about don't talk about what someone was making because it's a woman or what we pay to foreigners. You must be joking, right? You're joking, right? When the members of parliament tell you that they want a raise over the $28,000 a year that they make it, what'd y'all say? Almost in unison, right? And me too. Nah, player, you need to do more work. Should we pay them in line with they pay, let's say, U.S. representatives in the Congress, the U.S. House of Representatives? Because they make $175,000 a year. At least. And they get, actually maybe more than that, and they get millions of dollars a year to hire staff. But when the guys at, but when Minnis come tell y'all, oh, the cost-saving measure due to the pandemic is we're not going to offer a lunch at the House of Assembly. Y'all go, Jesus Christ, what a good, the FNMs go, what a good prime minister. We're not doing lunch for the, that's right. Go down to where they sell Quiznos. Is that still a thing? Go get your lunch somewhere else. And you think that's all the world, right? That he's not spending money on lunch. But then Kay Forbes Smith gets $30,000 a year for a housing allowance. And we go, well, what y'all talking about? Poitier? Who Poitier? Ian Poitier? Is that who you mean? Oh, who made the 30 grand a month under Christie? Hell, I'm mad at him. We talked about him too. Remember that? That didn't go unsung. And we asked if there was value for money there. Candidate Ames wrote a national review on it, I remember. All right, so don't run out with me about don't watch what salary she pay. I'm watching it. You don't watch it. Right? You go get mad over Darnell Osborne's makeup that she said she paid for. This who y'all are, right? Not all of y'all. Some of y'all have sense. This is who a lot of y'all are. Desmond Bannister told y'all that Darnell Osborne wanted BPL to pay for her makeup, and many of you soiled your britches, right? All over Facebook and social media, and demonized this woman, who's my cousin, she's my family, I claim her all day, every day, right? Soiled your britches. than when we asked Desmond Bannister for the report into the fire that destroyed a $35 million generator. And he said he ain't ready to give it to us. Y'all went, well, okay. All righty. No problem. That's who a lot of you are. So I don't mind y'all. I follow my own stuff. Because if I follow y'all, I'll be lost. I want to know what everyone making. Everybody. That's what I want to know. And I want to know what happened to our money in the DRA. I want to know who get contract and why they get contract. Who had a legal fee. I want to know all of it. And I can keep on going and going and going and going. Until I find Juan McCartney gets something, we can stop talking about it. But I know Juan McCartney ain't got nothing. So we can talk about it all the way through. My bad. Was I going on? Oh, no, I apologize. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Hey, what's up, Vaughn?
Hey, I'm good. How are you doing?
Hey, listen. When you know they giving out all that free money, and if you know before I know, I can let you know. If you know
let me know. Please, we can do that. That's we can have that agreement between us.
But right? Let me help you out, bro. Let's go a step further. No name. I wouldn't call any names. You know, I wouldn't do that. But you also have. That they discovered it's in the public domain, where that the landfill, the person was paid Mr. McCartney close to almost $400,000 a month, bro. Close to $300,000+, not $3,000, but almost $400,000 a month to manage the dump.
Wow, I didn't realize that.
And you got people in this country eating out of the dump. Sorry to say it like that. But you got one person, your croonies accepting $400,000. And you must sit on the radio as a talk show host and don't say nothing when you got to pay it back, when I got to pay it back. Anytime when you hear people don't talk about in a situation you don't agree with it, it's because they don't pay national insurance. They don't go to the grocery shop and buy food. They don't have to pay rent or mortgage, so they don't care. But a person like yourself and maybe myself and thousands of others throughout this country will care because they got to be paying these people salary. And people need to understand that. That's our money. And you don't expect to pay somebody, come on, man, 30, 10, 100. Come on, man, what they doing for it? What are they doing for it?
No,
I just need to cut out the government. Buddy, this buddy, or I can bring you so you can make a lump sum of salary. You know you don't have the education, basically. You don't even have the expertise or the know-how or the knowledge. But I just bring you because you're my buddy. And I can tell these people something in this country. This, my government that I support, and Mr. Davis is basically, to me and to others, are doing a good, excellent job. And any of y'all members of parliament in this country who decide to go astray, and I find out that you go astray, I will call you out on the radio because I'm not going to let you make me fight for this party and to make myself or Mr. Davis look bad. So y'all who have intentions of hiring the people and giving them the $30,000 and $40,000 contract, $100,000 contract, don't let the rich final. Have a good day, bro.
Okay, my brother. Now, I will be perfectly honest. I don't know what DeWitt's talking about with the landfill, so I can't speak to it. I'm going to say this. Whoever y'all paid to take care of the landfill out there, FNM, I'm with y'all. I didn't like your prime minister, but it was worth it. All right? Oh, someone's pointing out to me the prime minister makes 86. You know you're right. The prime minister makes $86,000 a year. You know you're right. You're right. The prime minister don't make that. But let Brave Davis, I want to see something. All y'all who out here talking about pay, whatever, we should pay for whatever we want or whatever, whoever, whatever wants. I want to see something. Let Brave Davis come to you and tell you he wants to give himself a raise to match what the director of the DRA was making. I want to see what happens. I want to see what you guys say. Let me see. He gets $86,000 a year plus a $20,000 duty allowance. The prime minister don't get a housing allowance? No? Because he have a house, right? So she had a house too, right? And lived on grandma. She got $30,000 housing allowance. All right. Let's not talk about it. It's monopoly money. It ain't actual money that we're being sued for. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution. Hello. Good afternoon. No? Okay, fine. Let's do text messages. It says, hey, Juan, which government post will you be taking up? The one that pays 30 grand a month? Give me that one. I'll do that one. I will disavow everyone I've ever worked for and go take up that post for 30 grand a month. Juan, spoiler with Greece. Oh. Juan, y'all get crab and rice for Father's Day, right? What's the cheap out on Valentine's Day? Hot dog sauce and cheap red wine? I don't really like crab and rice either. Well, let me say it like this. I like the flavor of crab and rice. But if I gotta, like, pick out crab shells and, like, spit them out and suck off the meat, I ain't into all that. When I'm lucky, my birthday falls on Valentine's Day, so birthdays trump Valentine's Day. So the girls tend to treat me more than I would treat them. Yeah, you're lucky. It's your birthday, so you really don't have to buy anything. This is neither here nor there. I think I've spoken about this before. There's a thing where people call you on your birthday and ask you where you're taking them out. Have you noticed that? In all my life, I never knew that was a thing until I came back home and a few years later. Where you taking us? Where are we going for your birthday? What do you mean? Where am I taking you? It's my birthday. You take me out. Juan, you really don't value running a campaign? Yeah, I would. Says Juan, I agree with you on that. Miss me with that. Not to mention she was being paid all of that at a nonprofit organization. They must have lost their minds. Juan, best talk show on radio in the Bahamas. You ain't gonna try to confuse me. I might as well brief you. Oh, is it she a woman? See, because what happens is people throw these things at you and then whatever sticks, whatever you feel bad about, and you go, oh, maybe it's like we're talking about her because she's a woman. I don't care. Don't matter to me. I got no problem with a woman running anything. At all, right? They're open to critique just like men are. Oh, y'all pay the foreigner. Hey, hold on, player. Hold on. I ain't talking about what the foreigner got paid. I ain't talking about that. I'm talking about this particular post and the same energy you talk about, pay people what they should get compared to other roles around the world, then pay the people who run major organizations in this country day in and day out for years on end comparable to what you're paying that person. It says they need to add a blue mystic with the snack and then everyone will be straight. And blue mystic ain't included. It says, I don't think Anton missed the earlier part of your show. I think it was a ploy to get around the conditions you had established. Anytime something bad comes up on the PLP, he deflects with the FNM and talking about corruption. Says, good afternoon, Juan. The best part of this contract scandal is that former Prime Minister Minnis has gone back in hiding. The contract can't be validated because no one can prove value. It says, Juan, apparently the salary was warranted based on the fact she was head of the Senate. Her qualification was being appointed a different position. The argument people give about paying members of parliament more similar to U.S. senators, but we don't have a progressive income tax. We need to look at what others make after tax. So, and I don't feel the least bit bad about it by pointing this out. She was making more than the prime minister. And I can't get audited financial statements tabled in parliament on a timely basis. I can't get made public the contracts that I, you know what, actually, that's not even on her. to be real with you, that's not on her. That's on John Michael Clark and the board. She's part of the board, but the board is responsible for that. So the board has failed in making sure that that has happened as well. So there's a lot to go around. And this is going to hurt some of your feelings because everybody's friends out here and we don't want to, you know, until you're ready to knife this person and serve XYZ up on a platter for your own personal aims. But it is what it is, right? Because I remember quite well when we had mistakenly attributed comments made by George Smith to Sir Cornelius A. Smith, how numerous members of the Free National Movement's Parliamentary Caucus call for me to be fired over and repeatedly, wrote emails to our bosses, my bosses, Kendi's bosses, over and repeatedly. I remember Carl Kulmer had about 6 or 7 different press releases within the space of, 10 days, talking about how Kendi Adams should be fired, right? Don't worry. Someone always talks. I know what happened. I know you wanted me to get fired. You wanted me to lose my job, right? Because of attribution error. But yet, you can spend $26 million of government's money and not have audited financial statements and nobody gets in any problems. And Pakesha Parker Edgecombe goes, totally justified paying him that. So everyone's going to have to just get mad. It is what it is. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Good afternoon, Juan McCartney. How are you?
I'm great. How's it going?
Wonderful show as usual, my brother.
Thanks.
I came out of a church service because I picked up my radio in church and I heard what you was talking about. So I'm outside here.
Don't do that.
Waiting my turn to get on this radio because it is despicable, okay? But it's true and honest about that former administration. Our kitty, okay? Our cookie jar was their playmate, okay? They wanted to take that kitty to the Super Bowl, okay? Buy everybody popcorn and hot dog, okay? But, you know, the dignity of a man that we're sending to his resting place today, he didn't even agree with that, okay? And much less he, the God that we serve. Come on. How could you justify the fact that the work, she didn't even start to do the work yet to give her a salary like that? Okay, we understand now why she wanted to leave the Senate. It wasn't enough money. And then Ms. Parker got to come on the front page today. It is true that paper sits there and anything writes on it, you know, that she deserved it. How could she deserve it? Okay, more than just her deserves that, things like that in that party, you know. Okay, our money is like a cookie jar to them. But they would have us to look the other way and think that the other people treated like that. There's evidence, okay? All that money, you know how much homes that could have built? How many people in this inner city could have eaten from that plate? Okay? And you want to take this administration to court to get the rest of the money? So what type of fools or cult do you think we are? But like I say, Mr. McCarthy, I'm in church. And I ask God to forgive her.
Go finish your worship. All right?
Yes.
Say a prayer for me. We got another call. Let's do it. And I really don't care. Record this show. Do voice notes. WhatsApp. By the way, someone sent me like over a six-minute voice note. What's this dude's name? Facts and Issues? I'm not listening to that. Send me like the Cliff's Notes version of that. I'm not listening to 6 minutes of what he's talking about. I don't know him. I don't know who he is. But I'm not trying to diss you. I'm not listening to a 6 minute voice note of anything. I don't think there's anything there's a 6 minute voice note I'm going to sit through unless someone's like confessing major crimes or something like this. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution. No? All right. They couldn't even wait on the phone for 6 minutes. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Hello. Good day. I'm Ron, Mr. McCartney.
Hey, how's it going?
Yes. It's Marlon Johnson, independent thinker. Listen, I listen to the show as usual every day. But I
have
to call in today because when you mentioned that the salary for the lady, Kay Foster Smith, in reference to the DRS. I find it very shocking. But if you remember, this country has a culture of that. Because if you go back to the former minister, director, not minister, correct myself, director of tourism, Wanderpool Wallace. Remember his salary under the former prime minister, right honorable Hubert Alexander Ingram, was $250,000 a month. I go, yeah, $250,000 a year plus break. I don't remember that. I mean, he's making $1 million in 4 years.
I don't remember that.
Yeah, listen, I said it clearly. The former director of tourism, Dr. Wanderpool Wallace. And the people have an issue about it because they say you'll be making more than the prime minister. The prime minister, at the time, if I remember correctly, he justified by saying how important that the position was and that the money that tourism makes is the money what he's getting paid. But that's what he tried to say in that manner.
Why would he pay
someone more than he makes?
Right. I'm going to play devil's advocate here for you, though. Vincent van der Poel Wallace has decades of experience in tourism. What did Kay Forbes Smith have? Decades of experience in disaster reconstruction that you could point to.
No, you're right. You're right. I'm not justifying his salary or her salary. No, I'm only telling you we have a norm. It becomes a norm now that things like that happen. It's an ain't right. Because if you could pay cabinet minister, if you could pay her that, and then if you make it more than the prime minister and the prime minister in charge, something wrong with the system. There's something totally wrong with the system. Because, you know, salary is usually based on performance and position. So you don't pay the people at the top the lowest and pay the people, the helper, the highest. That design is upside down. So I was only telling you that it's a normal thing that they do now, that they pay, you know, persons very enormous, you know, high, huge funds for position that they hold in government. And I think it needs to change. The country needs to change. I think we need a merit-based system, production, resulted every year, a plan. And, you know, it's plain they need to change this country in order for production to meet the salary that they agree to. But, you know, politicians control some of the power. We don't have a structured system that will force them to stay within a guideline. And 20 foreigners come in and get thousands of dollars as a consultant every year, and that's unbelievable, and it's causing the life of living in this country so high as a result, and the poor people are suffering as a result of it, and you know, and some people find reasons to justify it, and that's the way we live in it.
I agree, there should be some justification for why people get paid. Thanks for calling, man. We got to go to a break. I agree. You can sit with me and show me Vincent van der Poel Wallace's resume. And I can go, if he's hired as a consultant for tourism, giving his resume in tourism, you can make some justifications for me. For something you just cooked up for someone who didn't have anything to do with that before, it's a lot harder sell. Let's take the break. We'll be back.
In relationship banking, we take pride in getting to know our clients. You have access to knowledgeable, approachable ambassadors and financial coaches so that we can recommend the best product for you. At Fidelity, we care about you. From your financial health to your physical health, we can relate to you because we're just like you. Come and start your relationship banking experience with us today. Visit us online at fidelitygroup.com. Visit any of our branches in Nassau or Grand Bahama, or phone 356-7764 in Nassau, or 352-6676 for Freeport.
J.S. Johnson Insurance has peace of mind.
Tired of banks forcing you to use technology to bank the way they want you to? Your convenience is important. So no matter what your banking needs, Commonwealth Bank's friendly staff are always available in branch for that personal one-on-one service. But when you choose technology, our online and mobile banking app offers you state-of-the-art functionality. The choice is yours. Commonwealth Bank. Bank the way you want.
Burger King Nassau is taking spice to new heights with the new Baja Whopper and Baja Crispy Chicken Sandwiches. Enjoy your choice of a flame-grilled Whopper or crispy chicken filet topped with chipotle sauce, guacamole, jalapenos, cheese, lettuce, tomato, all on a fresh potato bun. The new Baja Sandwiches at Burger King Nassau pack plenty of flavor, and with an ice-cold Pepsi and fries or onion rings, it's the perfect way to fill your day. The Baja Whopper and Baja Crispy Chicken Sandwich are only available at Burger King Nassau, where taste is king.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to the Revolution here on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. We didn't even get into Tycoon Trucking, because I want to get into that. We will, hopefully. It says, Juan, did you hear about the 13-year-old baby boy that died of COVID? Yeah, man, I did hear that. That's really tragic. That is so, so sad. But I don't know what's worse. Like, you try to do this calculus and say, this X is heartbreaking, Y is even worse, Z is unthinkable. When it comes to children and babies, and it's hard to do it. Like, okay, my wife had a friend who, her baby died in the womb 9 months into the pregnancy. Like, she was set to deliver in like a couple of weeks. The baby died. And I didn't know this, but they still have you deliver the baby even if the baby's not alive. They induce pregnancy. They induce labor. And you deliver the baby, right? And my wife showed me a picture of her friend holding the stillborn baby she had just delivered. Like, it was blue, it was just, I was like, what could be worse than that? But then to actually have the baby and to have the baby die a couple of weeks later, whether it's COVID, whatever it is, because young babies are so susceptible to so much. I don't know if that's worse. Is it worse to say the child is a few years old, where is walking and talking and communicating, you can see their personality, and then something happens? Is it worse when the child becomes, you know, it's so hard. But that's terrible. It's terrible. It's very tragic. And you do have to be careful with COVID-19, particularly with infants like that. Absolutely. And I don't know how it happened either. It's just terrible is what it is. I know, like, when my wife, like, had our son, she was like, nobody come around, right? And the pediatrician was like, well, you know, give it 30 days, you know, and then you can have the baby. And I was like, you know, it's been 30 days. You want other people over? She was like, around my new baby? No. Right? So it's really hard. That's really terrible. I think there was a one-year-old that died of COVID as well at some point. Yeah, that's terrible, though. It's really, really, really sad to hear. Let's go to the phone lines. Good afternoon. Welcome to the Revolution.
Hello, Juan.
Hi, good afternoon.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm okay.
How you doing?
I'm okay. How are you?
That's good. Juan, I have a small something in my head. Let me me ask you something. You remember how much we was paying that person from BPL to manage the woman from BPL to manage the BPL?
Yeah. Pamela Hill.
Pamela Hill, right?
That's right, yeah.
Oh, I know the name. I just right. trying to figure. Because sometimes in media, we play games. Like, K4 Smith can't make that money, but Pamela Hill could broke the Bahamas.
No, we wasn't playing no games with Pamela Hill. That ain't true.
But some things you ought to just leave alone. I understand that.
But no games played.
What Pamela Hill was doing to the Bahamian people,
uh-huh.
Brave Davis, not Pamela Hill, because Brave Davis was the minister of white. How come nobody never cry about that? $25,000 a month, plus flight up and down the place, housing allowance, $9,000.
But where were you? I'm sorry. No. Hold on. Where were you? You said nobody cried about that? Where were you?
But
you don't remember the huge outcry over that?
No, dude.
Everybody
calling in and finally, and they acting like this a new thing.
That was a national scandal when that happened. Not only that, but also the $1 million we paid for the BPF for the power secure business plan.
And guess what? The light still was going on.
Right.
Still was going off every day. 3-4 times a day. In fact, it's still doing the same thing now.
Okay, so that's germane to this situation, how?
But if this lady got a contract for $107,000, if they'd try me, I was going to take it.
Yeah, I'd take it too. I don't blame her for taking it.
This is it. So what are we crying about?
I'm crying about my $100,000 plus my $30,000. What are you saying?
Listen,
that's taxpayer
me.
Money. Then give it to me. Give it to me. If you're not crying about it, give it to me.
I'm not going to fret because if these people ask for it and somebody give it to them, I don't like it. But what could I do?
I guess you just pay it, my brother. If you don't mind your tax dollars getting paid like that, you give it to me. All right, and I'll go not submit audited financial accounts for the DRA. Y'all don't remember Pamela Hill? A, that was a thing. B, what does that have to do with this? Wasn't she fired? Wasn't PowerSecure's contract canceled? This says, one, I think we only have half the story. I strongly believe that a further investigation will be made. I wouldn't be surprised. Well, I can't read all this. One, let me give you a would you rather. Would you rather listen to Anton breathlessly run out for 4 minutes or listen to Dave continuously shout your last name and ask every few seconds if you're listening? He's trying to make his point. I don't know. It's just kind of insulting it's offensive to call someone and be like, I wasn't listening to you, but I want to chime in. You know, I don't want you to do, well, I don't know if Anton's married. I want you to try that with your wife sometime or your girlfriend sometime, right? So if your girlfriend's talking for like 10, 15 minutes and you just caught the last 30 seconds, I want you to say, even though I'm not your girlfriend in this scenario, but I want you to say, you know, try with your boss or someone you're close to and say, you know, I wasn't listening to what you were saying, but I do want to chime in. Because I paid attention to nothing you were saying. I didn't bother to tune in, but now I want to have my say. If you'd shut up and allow me to go on and on when I didn't listen to you, it'd be much appreciated. All right, we got to go to a break. We'll be back.
We'll be right back.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas. This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to Revolutionary on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. My name is Juan McCartney. So good to have you with us. Let's talk about this latest story. It's coming out about the Disaster Reconstruction Authority. Someone asked me today, well, why are we talking about the DRA so much? Why also focus on DRA? I'm sorry, is there an issue that is pressing that should divert our attention away from what happened with the Disaster Reconstruction Authority now that we're being sued for reported breach of contract of the managing director of the Disaster Reconstruction Authority? I think it's a fine time to look into everything surrounding the Disaster Reconstruction Authority, a new entity that was brought into existence by the former administration, whose last report, unaudited, last financial report, again, that was unaudited in contravention to the law, said that they had spent $26.5 million from November 29th, 2019, when it was brought into law through the official Gazette, and December 31st, 2020. So in 13 months, $26.5 million got spent on Graham Hamm on Abaco. That, mind you, that's not Ministry of Works money to put roads back. That's not BPL money to put back power lines and telephone poles. That's not water and sewage money to fix the pumping stations and all the other things that water and sewage had to take care of there. That's just money that was supposed to go to reconstruction, mainly to do with homes and businesses. $26.5 million. That should have included money to erect domes. And so my question is, what's the problem with looking into the Disaster Reconstruction Authority? Since we're being sued by the former managing director for money that was supposed, I guess, according to the contract, be paid to her, then why shouldn't we look at what all was done in the DRA? I think it's a prime time to do so. So far, we've learned that former FNM candidate received a contract, which I don't have a problem with, was also doing legal work for the DRA. While they were doing other work for the DRA, which is a problem. And now we have Executive Chairman Alex Storr saying that although much less recovery work was done on Grand Bahama than on Abaco following Dorian, much more money was being paid out for the work on Grand Bahama. So he said the company in question was receiving as much as $1 million a month. Okay. So he said the debris seems to have simply been dumped on a vacant lot. There was no type of sorting. On Abaco, there's at least some type of sorting. Even at the worst sites, I can see that some attempts were being made to sort, said Storr, who visited Abaco and Grand Bahama in recent days to assess the work that was done after the cataclysmic Category 5 storm. He said in Grand Bahama, it seems that it was simply dumped and not sorted. Actually, the two sites I visited were under the same company. So one company has been receiving as much as $1 million per month. He said, I've seen bills of $400,000 and some as high as $500,000 a month at each of the two sites, whereas on Abaco, the highest I've seen was $300-something-odd-thousand on one site and $160,000, $180,000 on another site. It leads me to wonder why the cost in Grand Bahama is some 2 to 3 times more than in Abaco, but I can see that even less work was done in Grand Bahama. Storr said the work on Grand Bahama was severely overvalued. He said, let me give you this example. There are two sites on Abaco which are run by two separate companies. We have the one company that we spoke about that was billing at $300,000. We have another company on Abaco that was billing $150,000 to $180,000, even though their site is bigger. Within their reporting, they're providing me pictures, they're providing me the loads, they're providing the license plate numbers for the trucks that come in, and I can go online to their share drive, and I can pick any day, and I can see pictures of the trucks and the loads that came in. With these other two, no such reporting was done. There was no such reporting provided, and this company is charging less than both of these companies. Storr said an executive at the DRO was sent an administrative leave as questions continue to rise about contracts issued under the previous administration. The Nassau Guardian spoke yesterday with Ed Curling, principal of Tycoon Waste Management Company, which was contracted by the DRA to carry out recovery work on Grand Bahama after Dorian. Curling managed the debris management sites in McLeanstown and High Rock. His company also cleaned up Pelican Point. Asked whether Tycoon had been receiving $1 million a month from the DRA, he said, no, I can put my books on top of the table. It won't make a difference to me. I kept good books. I paid everyone that I had hired. The Grand Bahamians were out of homes in the east end of Grand Bahama, out of homes, out of everything. I hired as many of them as I could possibly have hired, and very little money I walked out of there with. He added, I can let someone lay my books on the table of Parliament. I know that I worked for whatever money I received. Before I go any further, can we do that then? Can you have someone out there, any member of Parliament can do this. Can you go get Ed Curling's books from Tycoon, what's the name of the company? Tycoon Waste Management Company. The principal is Ed Curling. He said that he can let someone lay my books on the table of Parliament. He said, I can put my books on top of the table. It won't make a difference to me. Can we get his books? Can someone, where can we, who can do that for us? Who can get the books from Tycoon Waste Management? I'd like to see it. Someone in Parliament, ask him for the books to lay it on the table of Parliament so we can look at it, since he's offered. We didn't ask. He offered, so I'm down to look at it if you're offering. That goes for anybody else out there, too. You want to lay your books on the table of Parliament? I'll be happy to go through them free of charge. In fact, you're supposed to lay the whole DRA's books on the table of Parliament. I'd love to go through those as well. Okay. Curling said he was initially engaged by the Ministry of Works and the Department of Environmental Health in the immediate aftermath of the storm. That his company was contracted by the DRA in February 2020 after a bidding process. A letter sent to him by DRA Project Director Wendell Grant on September 30th, 2020, advised of a notice of closure of the active debris management sites. His work came to an end. He was asked to send in his billing as soon as is practical. Asked whether the DRA got value for money from his company, he said, yes, I can tell you this because if they had gotten an outsider to clean up Grand Bahama and Abaco, it would have cost pretty near $100 million. $100 million. Okay. Again, he's offered to put his books on the table of Parliament. Someone, please, who's in Parliament, go take him up on that and lay the books on the table in Parliament so we can see them? I'd like to see them, since that's what's being offered. I didn't ask, but, you know, that's what's being offered. I'd love to see the books, as well as all the DRA's information as well. It says, speaking of tycoons' work yesterday, Store said, the fact of the matter is we visited the site. The debris obviously not been sorted or reduced, though Tycoon was paid to do so. You can see the debris in individual piles exactly how it was dumped. Okay. I'm going to say this. Okay. And this is no shade to anybody involved. I don't personally know Ed Curling. I do know Alex Storr. I'll disclose that. And his wife. I've known them for a very long time. And his son. I'm going to need documentary evidence for everything that everybody's saying. All right? I'm not saying I don't believe you. I'm just saying I would like to see documentation for everything that everybody in all of this is saying. Because here's how we practice accountability. Okay? We practice accountability by not just taking people's word for things, but actually being able to look at verifiable data and drawing logical, critical conclusions from actual data as opposed to everyone's side of the story. Because both things can't be true. It can't be true that Tycoon was getting billing $1 million a month or receiving $1 million a month, as well as Tycoon was not receiving $1 million a month. So one of the two must be the facts, right? Both things which are opposite of each other cannot be true at the same time. So I'd like to see evidence. On behalf of the DRA, Tycoon has offered to show their books, table them in Parliament. That'd be great. I'd like to understand this better. So as it stands, I don't know what's going on. This is a lot of he said, she said for an entity that was dealing in tens of millions of dollars. I would love to be able to actually see what the books actually say, as opposed to I'm trying to get everybody's version of events, and when the versions of events don't line up, I'm here lost. And I got to pick a side based on what? We got to play judge now. We got to determine who seems like they're got the most credible story. I don't want to do that. I want actual information. That'd be great, right? Can we run our government like that? Can we have information that we can base conclusions on, as opposed to what everybody's saying out here? I know it's new, but I'd like it if we could do that. We got a phone call? Sure. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Hey, President, good afternoon. How are you doing?
Hey, I'm great. How's it going?
I'm doing fine, thank you. You know, one, and no shade here, but the current leader of the opposition sat in that cabinet that would have approved all of these agencies that were created, the personnel that were hired, the board, et cetera. And so he has a lot to answer to as well. Just putting that out there for the record as it relates to news and reporting and all this kinds of stuff, right? But going back to what you spoke about from the top of your show, right, Juan?
Mm-hmm.
I made a quick note. I'd just like to read it quickly, please. Not because other senior-level government officials are paid considerably less than the former DRA chairman or chairwoman. An office created the 26th of February 2020, I might add, in recent times, not 30, 40 years ago, as in the other agencies of government. Does it mean nor make it wrong to pay that chairperson less or chairwoman less, especially under the condition that we all know? The other senior government officials are being paid less than they should. That would, in effect, be perpetrating wrong in the first place in order to justify wrong in the last place, which makes absolutely no sense. And so also, one, if the other heads of government agencies who we know carry very serious, deep and heavy responsibilities spread across many countries in some instances are satisfied and prepared to accept whatever salary scale they've met in place, that's another consideration as well. You can't blame someone who would have been paid perhaps what they negotiated or perhaps internationally based on standards for that same position, what is seen as fair and acceptable if they are paid that amount of money, right? And so I just wanted to address that. And then you also spoke about some credible situations.
But help me out, though. What was her pay based on?
I have no idea, Juan. I can't.
So how can you defend it?
I'm not defending it, Juan. I am not. Don't get me wrong, please. Don't put that on me. All I'm saying, Juan, as it relates to that specifically, if a job description demands a salary of $250,000 or $500,000 a year, that should not be an issue paying any Bahamian who meets the criteria to receive that job. It should not be any issue paying that individual that salary. That's my only point. I'm not seeking to justify what was paid in any way, shape, or form. Because okay. If we want to talk justification, one, we need to look at what is the salary scale for other comparable positions. We have to look at performance. We have to look at what the objectives were. And then we have to make an analysis based on informed data so that we can determine if this person actually even earned what we were paying them in the first place, or they were performing so superior that we should have been giving them a bonus on top of what we paid them. And we do not have that information, perhaps the current leader of the opposition. That's why I say he has a lot to answer on, because he sat in the cabinet. And so he should not be overlooked in the whole questioning scenario. Now, to get to my other point quickly, please, Juan. You also made some other credible points relating to very highly decorated Bahamian an accountant and businesswoman in the country, unpaid salary, et cetera, which I supported. I was one on your show and on every other show who found it disgraceful what the former Minister of Works, who had responsibility for BPL, seek to do as it relates to Darnell Osborne, right? Mm-hmm. And I also found it unfair to keep MPA's salary after 30, 40, 50 years of parliamentary operation in our country, in this independent country, that they are still earning pretty much the same salary. They need a review as well. And so I'm not one of those ones who play tit for tat or who play titsy or who runs an eye. I speak and I stand on what I speak on, because I do my research. I'm well informed, and I believe I try to be fair in my positioning. Now, the final point that I want to make, Juan, is what you are doing now, mm-hmm. is what I also... Can you hear me clearly?
Yeah, I can hear you.
What you are doing now in your discussion, analyzing what the current executive chairman, Alex Thorpe, someone who I also respect highly, has presented in the media, along with other statements from persons who served previous in those positions, is where we need to be. We need those audited statements that the executives at that time, that the minister at that time, that the prime minister at that time refused to lay on the House on the table of the House of Assembly. And also, we need this current government to hold those accountable for breaking the laws. They are required by law to present the audited statements, and they refuse to present the audited statements. They were also required by law as it relates to that $250 million loan that they got from the IDB to tell us who are the beneficiary companies, which they did not do. Boy, there is so much. I just pray to God, one, that my prime minister, Philip Bird Davis, the Honorable, his cabinet and government, sees necessary to not just pay lip service to what was done wrong, but to take the necessary action to ensure it never happens again by holding these people to the standard of law that every citizen in this country is supposed to be subject to. Thank you for the opportunity, Juan. I'll continue to listen, and I was listening from the start today. God bless, bro.
All right, good. So he followed all the rules. There you go. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution. Hello. Good afternoon.
McCartney, how are you doing? Charlotte Johnson.
I'm great. How's it going?
I'm okay. Just give me some leeway with this. Oftentimes we, during election campaigns, we hear things like freedom of information. information, transparency, accountability, integrity, anti-corruption, finance reform, and the likes. And then we spend about 5 years discussing the symptoms of what these things didn't bring about. I am one to believe, right, that if you have to pass a law to get your leaders to provide freedom of information, transparency, accountability, to integrity, and a law for anti-corruption in your leadership, then your country is really in crisis, because they're simply saying that your leadership needs laws to force them to do these things. Now, a part of the problem we have where we talk about the so-called secrecy in cabinet, all of the questions like Anton just asked is answered already in cabinet. And cabinet can disclose anything, can waive cabinet privilege at any time, even in the interest of public knowing or whatever, if it doesn't compromise national security. None of the information we need to know that was asked in opposition is not available. It's not available in cabinet papers right now. If it is not available in cabinet papers, then we have a bigger crisis than there is, including the salary of one Ms. Catherine Smith. And so everything that is done, I assume, is documented. I assume that the civil service crossed their I's, dot their I's and crossed their T's. But one of the biggest problems I see is a position, a constitutional position called the Auditor General, who is emasculated by the virtue of the Minister of Finance or the Cabinet in the allocation necessary to competently run that office that can be able to audit and bring information to us in real time. And so, you know, we just simply have to begin to look at the root of where these issues arise and begin to have a conversation how we can see it. Are you familiar with the Auditor General position?
On the DRA, no.
No, the Auditor General.
Am I familiar with the position of Auditor General in the Bahamas?
Yes.
Of course. What do you mean am I familiar with
that? Right, that's what I'm saying to you. Have you ever seen them properly be resourced so they can bring you information in real time rather than 1, 2, 3 years later?
No. And it's a constant, it's something constant that oppositions bring up, and then when they become government, they still don't do it.
Right. And so what you have is you have the power of what's the position? The person in opposition has the accounts committee has the ability to subpoena papers and information. They can even go to the courts and have the cabinet minister and others be held in contempt or in parliament. You have the Auditor General, if properly resourced with the personnel they need and an independent budget, because they are a constitutional position. Mm-hmm. Many of these abuses can be negated in real time, because once they see that the information will be put in the public domain, so the minute we sign a contract, the minute something happens, instantaneously the Auditor General can ask to look at it. And so, you know, if we are to have audit, we are in a crisis of one. We are almost 100% or more when you look. No, we're way past 100% of the GDP when you look at the liabilities that we have. The government itself always talks about it's 100% of GDP, but no one knows who we owe, why we owe, what we owe to the civil servants, all of this information. But we're always talking about freedom of information. But if this information is not digitized, if we'll be back in the same information, we can have all the discussion we want, but then we say, oh, by the way, go get those paperwork. Are you aware probably 80% of all the records on Grand Bahama was destroyed in Dorian because it was all paper? So we keep spending money and we're doing things, but we not have any measurable progress. And so I say to people, please advocate for the Auditor General to hire maybe a few dozen more people for every department, for everything, and be given the proper resources. And this is one way for this government to show they're sincere and serious about building the future as opposed to dwelling in the past. Thank you so much.
Okay, fair enough. I hear what you're saying about making cabinet discussions public. And there's an argument to be made about that, but understanding how, well, firstly, I know of no parliamentary system in any democracy on earth where cabinet deliberations are public. You may know better than me, but I don't. And the reason for that is because you want people the freedom to have whatever discussions they want in cabinet without public scrutiny, because at the end of the day, that stuff is put to a vote. And when the collective position of cabinet comes out, you either can remain in cabinet and adopt that position as your own, or you can resign from the cabinet and explain why you disagree with a particular law or policy or position, right? And then you're afforded, in those instances where cabinet members are also members of parliament, you're afforded time in parliament to speak to that as well. But there's a argument to be made about having certain cabinet deliberations made public, balancing out national security concerns. So, and I'll get to your phone line. I just want to finish my thought on this. So, for instance, a cabinet decision to go to war, for instance, like, I could see why that would be secret in the short term, but it's something that probably the public would want to understand better in the long term. So there's different reasons to have it secret, and then there's different reasons to say certain things should be disclosed after a certain period of time. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Hi, good afternoon.
Hey, how are you?
Fine, thank you. I have a question, because I'm hearing persons saying that Mr. Pintard sat as a part of this cabinet, okay? That I guess had hands in okaying such a contract for the lady. However, weren't Mr. Davis and those also a part of the same cabinet, or they were not a part of that?
Mr. Davis was part of which cabinet?
The last cabinet.
Mr. Davis, no.
So only F&Ms were permitted to have a say in the contract?
Only Free National Movement members were in cabinet, yes.
Okay, okay. I thought it was made up on both sides.
No. No.
Okay, all right.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay. And, you know, this underscores my point where we're going to talk about civics and the makeup of the country, the government, and why we should always refresh our memory on how that works. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
1:30 more seconds.
Sure.
You hit the point right there where you say we need to teach civics, governance, and responsibilities. But the next point is that in the other parliamentary democracies and such, information such as decisions made by cabinet, because it's not voted individually, it's collectively, but mm-hmm. the decision collectively is made. For instance, I don't need to know who voted for Catherine to get this contract, because anything over 3 years must be cabinet. But I do know it need to know the terms of which the contract is. But here's what they do. The next time you speak to a minister, you ask him how long does the cabinet secrecy protection last, and if I'm not mistaken, 3 years.
Okay. I'm not sure. Like I was saying, I don't have a problem with you building in like sunset clauses or whatever for cabinet secrecy on certain decisions. I understand that in the moment and in terms of political viability and, you know, you want to make sure that your political career is not colored by your individual opinion inside cabinet. I get that. In the long run, I think it's better to disclose in the public interest. You know, if you want to say 15, 20 years, whatever, then that's fine. But I don't know that it should be a forever thing. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
One.
Hey, how's it going?
Yesterday, I did not say we are a failed state. It just troubles me that we are just wasting this money. Haiti is a failed state. All them billions that they make from 2020 earthquake, little reach the poor, little. Mm-hmm. Just the big people take all the money and venture out in. Billions and millions, billions that they can't find.
I mean, go ahead.
It is troubling me now. I heard 1 million a month. I think it's more to come. It's more drugs and dropouts. And it's doing like this is borrowed money to help the poor. Do you know McCoy Mills saw that a couple months ago? They had trailers and trailers of wood rotting, of lumber, asphalt, she left in the...
Hello? Okay, so, and again, one day we're going to do this thing on what a failed state is. Haiti is not a failed state, in my opinion. All right? There are certain organs of the state in Haiti that are not functioning as they should, such as democratic elections. All right? But Haiti still has a constitution that is working. Haiti, while it does not have a functional parliament, does have a de facto, I guess you want to say, if not constitutionally elected at the moment, head of state. Haiti's army is still intact. Its police is still intact. Haiti still has structural things that are working within the state. So I don't consider Haiti a failed state, a very troubled state, a very impoverished state, a nation in a very precarious state. Yes, a failed state? No. You know, you could still fly in and out of Haiti's airports. You can still conduct commerce and trade with Haiti. Banks are still functioning in Haiti. Money services are still functioning. So, you know, when you're a failed state, it's something that is almost without outside intervention, which Haiti does need a lot of. It's almost unsalvageable without outside intervention. And so when I talk about Yemen, when people can't get access to food, people are going to get mad at this and they may dispute this. When I talk about Afghanistan, and you're going to say, yeah, well, and you're just some neo-colonialist and you support the U.S. occupation of Afghanistan. It's not that. It's that now you have stories out of Afghanistan, now that the Taliban's taken over, talking about how men are selling their 9-year-old daughters into marriage, because child marriage was a big problem, but it started to be less of a problem. That's when you're starting to look at it being a failed state. When people can't get food, they can't get medical services, they can't get security services, they can't do banking, etc. Those are some of your indicators of a failed state. When elections can't take place, that sort of thing. All right, let's do a text line. Hey, Juan, check this out. If the FNM had won the election, do you think the suing of the PLP government by Ms. Smith would have come up? Probably not. It says, hi, Juan. Talk shows allow me to feel the pulse of our country. I wish to hear honest contributions rather than the political party propaganda responses often given daily by a few PLP callers who consume lots of free airtime. I might feel better if that party would be made to pay Guardian Radio for their daily political messages. From these callers who travel from talk show to talk show to talk show, repeating their own ridiculous posturing on issues. Great show, thanks. I'd love it if they had to pay. That'd be great. This says that, always a great show. This brother just letting y'all know when the PLP give him his outrageous contract job. Don't complain. Keep up the good work. All right. This is Anton. All right. Hey, Juan, the word on the street in Grand Bahama that the reasons the NGOs took off is because they weren't pleased in the way the funds were channeled in reference to the DRA's activities. I don't know. I'd like to know. And don't you think that given the state of Grand Bahama and the state of Abaco, a lot of it, that it doesn't warrant like a closer look at what exactly happened in the Ministry of Disaster Preparedness? To me. Hey, Juan, quick fail state question. Is Sudan or Somalia a fail state? Somalia, I wouldn't say is a fail state at the moment. Was a fail state. I won't say that Sudan is a fail state at the moment. It was a fail state. They had an internal conflict among the Muslims and Catholics that saw many, many, many people slaughtered for many decades. They did, however, after many years, have successful elections for South Sudan to secede from Sudan and establish its own independent state. South Sudan is in a lot of trouble right now. for me to pin fail state on it, it's you got to be really, 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 really falling apart to say failed state. That's me. That's my arbitrary, you know, definition. This says, but you know, I think Somalia will be okay. I hope so. Sudan's got major, major problems. This says it appears that we are sidetracked once again with the naming and shaming period. However, what we desperately need are focused leaders executing with the urgency, their strategy to grow and stimulate the economy, get on with capital projects for infrastructural improvement, the urgency or lack thereof by the government in this regard is unsettling to the extreme. It says, hi, I saw some silly things done by the former administration. Well, we saw lots of silly things that have done by the PLP and the FNM. This is one of the reasons why Haiti is a failed state. The billions given for 2010 earthquake for the recovery, most of it never reached the poor. Juan, political patronage, malfeasance, and corruption is bad for any country. Again, I don't consider Haiti a failed state. I don't consider Venezuela a failed state. Fail to me means collapse, right? When your president's murdered, that's not good. That's not a good sign, but your president can be murdered and your state still not be at the point of collapse. It says, hi, Juan, this abuse will continue as long as we keep the same system. Here's a solution. For about $5 million, outfit the defense force with some heavy-duty equipment, let them do the cleanup. That's how first-world countries do it. Ask Anton to have the PHA $20 million fiasco explained. I mean, to me, all ideas were open in terms of Dorian. What happened was, and I'll tell you what I think happened, and you're just going to say I'm being a hater, but what I think happened was that the former prime minister and a lot of people close to him saw Dorian, as well as the pandemic, and this is where we messed up, I believe, real bad, saw Dorian and the pandemic as a way to shore up Menace's image, the image that Menace and those who believed in him wanted to project of strong leadership and competent leadership. And so because they were so focused on that, they ran away everybody who probably could have been very helpful, but also you would have recognized them as being strong and leaders in their own right during the pandemic, during the Dorian aftermath. And so because of that need to clout chase and profile, we lost a lot of momentum. That's what I believe. I could be wrong. That's what I see. All right? This is one. Have you been studying for Final Jeopardy? You seem to know a lot about other countries. No. I'm interested in the world around me, you know? I'm very interested in the Middle East and Africa because those are the parts of the world that the last gasp efforts at colonialism are taking place. And they're taking place there because we pay so, in my estimation, because we pay so little attention to it. Right? So you don't care that children are starving, do you, in Yemen? Right? You don't care that schools are being bombed in Syria, right? You don't have any idea what's going on in Afghanistan. The last thing you saw about it was the air base in Kabul was being cordoned off by the Taliban and the U.S. was trying to flee. You don't care that they stop little girls from going to school for the first time in 10, 15 years. You don't care. And the fact that you don't care because you want to make sure that Real Housewives comes on time and that we can all like get on Facebook and clown each other and we can watch YouTube and make TikTok videos, right? As long as that's going good, then basically anyone could do whatever they want in areas of the world that contain billions of people, but we just pretend like nothing happens. So I try to pay attention. I won. Please tell the gentleman that reads the news it's okay for him to have this slight British accent. It was very refreshing. I think he tamed it. Oh, Lord. Says Michael Pintard is the new FNM leader, must publicly state a position on this matter. The K. Forbes Smith contract, either publicly depart from Hubert Minnis in plain English now or embrace this as the Pintard way of doing things as well. Says, hey, Juan, I think some of these appointments with high pay are given so the ministers could, I don't want to go through that, but okay. This says, so many administrators of the DRE, in addition to FEMA and still Abaco and Freeport, it's looked like a disaster warmed over. Disaster after disaster, some folks want to get rich quick on your taxes, and they call it governance. Okay. Oh, this is interesting. It says, Juan, the director of the Federal Emergency Management Agency of the United States makes less than $150,000 a year, has a budget of over $20 billion a year, and oversees 17,000 employees. Well, good afternoon, Juan. How much is Clint Watson making? Just curious. I don't know. I don't know what Clint's making. I hope it's a lot. I want everything that the Lord has for you. I want you to get, Clint. This says that money pays for everything at the landfill, every piece of equipment, every gallon of diesel, every wage for all the personnel, the engineers, to fill, to cover the garbage. Again, I don't know what the people at the landfill are making, but if it's what DeWitt said, I'm okay with that because they fixed the issue, clearly. All right, we got to take a break. We'll be back.
At Ron's Electric Motors, they repair and rewind all major brands of electric motors, including water pumps, generators, and the generator's back end, welding machines, electric lifts, air compressors, battery chargers, and more. They're equipped to handle up to 850 kilowatts and rewind up to 450 horsepower motors. They're conveniently located on the corner of Wolf and Clarence Roads and are open weekdays 8 a.m. to 5 p.m., Saturdays till noon. They offer 24 hours emergency assistance. You can reach them at 242-356-0249.
Happy anniversary, My Gateway. Did you know that you can request and pay for over 35 government services on mygateway.gov.bs? Sign up today and access government services online with efficiency and simplicity. It's a celebration of a year of collective success on our digital transformation journey. My Gateway, making government work for you.
There's only one way to have a better morning.
How?
Start your mornings the best way with our 2 for $6 breakfast sandwiches at Wendy's. For a limited time, choose any two of your favorite breakfast sandwiches, including the fresh Kraken Sack Muffin, honey buttermilk chicken biscuit, double sausage muffin, or the sausage egg and cheese biscuit. Wash it all down with our cold brew shake or coffee. Better mornings always start at Wendy's. Wendy's, different inside and out. Includes airport locations.
We know how important collecting your money can be to the success of your business. Start your relationship with Fidelity today so that we can show you the many options available to you with our merchant services. From click and pay options online to merchant terminals and e-commerce options. We're here to help your business succeed. For more details, speak to one of our business development officers at 356-7764 in Nassau or 352-6676 in Freeport. Visit our website at fidelitygroup.com or visit any of our branches.
Good day, Airborne Freight and Cargo Services. How may I help you today?
Hey, listen, I just heard about you all, man.
Yes, sir. How may I help you, sir?
I hear you all giving out free things. And I's a mom with 12 children. I love free things.
Well, yes, sir. If you're ordering with Airborne Freight and Cargo Services for the first time, we will be giving you prizes just for shipping with us.
Hold on, wait. What are y'all giving out, sir?
Well, we're giving away gas vouchers, coupons from various outlets, up to 20% off your shipping fee, and so much more.
Could you all please stop slamming my door? None of y'all pay no bills inside you. Sorry about that, Mom. Hey, y'all is shipped double shoulders because this woman expecting twins again, Dred.
Airborne Freight and Cargo Services. Get rewarded for being a new customer on top of our ready low rates. Call us at 377-0450 or visit us on Facebook at Ship Airborne for more information.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to the revolution. We were talking DRA. Then we started talking geopolitics, which is pretty good, I think. I like. It says, Juan, according to Google, Haiti is a failed state. Okay. According to Google, I got you. Too much corruption and violent gangs running most of the country. People Google it. I see. Okay, well, hey, if Google tells you Haiti's a failed state, go right ahead. There's a dude at Google. There's like a guy or a girl at Google who's explaining to you Haiti's a failed state, or did you like Google someone's opinion about Haiti being a failed state? It says, one, the thing is, I do care. My interest is in Middle East and African studies. My favorite news network is Al Jazeera. We are so blindsided by the Western media whose only agenda is promote Western world interests and propaganda. Well, I'd just like to know what's going on. I want to know what's going on. Because you know what's interesting, too? I was looking at... Anyway, I won't explain it in too much detail. But I said to my wife the other day, I said, you know, we should move to Africa in 10 years, you know? And she's like, oh, where do you want to go in Africa? And I said, you know, South Africa sounds pretty good. There's some good things going on in Rwanda, although I'd prefer to, you know, be along the coastal regions. And then she brought it back up, and she's like, oh, I remember you were saying we should move to Africa. And my son goes, Africa, what? You ever seen, this isn't that, it was funny, but you're not going to like the humor. You ever seen the show Righteous Gemstones on HBO? Anyway, during the show, like, one of the sons does something real bad, and so he goes on a missionary. He goes on a mission to try to redeem himself. And the wife goes to the husband. She says, he's in Haiti. And the guy goes, Haiti, So we feed ourselves these perceptions of these places. They're not perfect, but there's a lot of good to like about them. It says, unmask our children. They need to breathe in the schools and see the expression on their teacher's face without the mask. Freedom. I'm with you. I'm right with you. I feel you. I'm going to say this, though. Let's get the children back in school full time first. Then we'll tackle the masks. Right? Clearly, just to have children in school is an incredibly complex and massive hurdle for the educators of our country who've been conducting in-person classes for the past, 60 years or so, from the primary to the through the secondary school level. Clearly, just having them all in school at the same time is a major, major, major challenge for our nation. So I just want to go back to school, and then we'll talk about the mask. Let's figure the back-to-school part out, because that seems a bridge a little too far for all those in the education plant. Once we figure that out, then let's figure the masks out. I think you're going to freak everybody out if you go, well, don't mask them and have all the children back in school. I don't know that that's something that everybody's going to accept. Yo, and I thought you banned the insane one, Anton. No, I didn't ban Anton. This says, Juan, none of this is on her. She managed to get an excellent contract due to connections. What is really sad about this is that regardless of how this shakes out, no one is going to suffer the consequences. Private industry hires in a similar fashion. I know we don't talk about it anymore, but remember what went down with Ryan Pinder when he resigned. Well, two things. I agree with you that this is not on her. And one of the things that happens, and I can't let that stop no show, is that you're going to talk about her salary, and people are going to go, well, this is an attack on her. All right? And for me, it's not. It's not an attack on her. It's not questioning why a woman would make that salary. It's, to me, a question of what are the qualifications of this person to make a salary that's so outside of the parameters of what normally would be made in these sorts of positions, particularly in some of the more high-profile positions in our entire country. All right, so that's what this is about, because it's government money. The second thing I'll say is private sector can do what it wants. All right, and I agree with you. If you negotiate a contract and the government agrees to it, that's awesome, but that's not on you. Like if PowerSecure is getting a massive contract from the government, I'm not mad at PowerSecure. I'm mad that they can't keep the lights on, but I'm not mad that they're getting money or they negotiated a good contract. My concern is with the government, who works for us. They work on our behalf, right? So that's who I take up issue with. And you should explain to me why XYZ got this contract. The person who got the contract, you're okay. You know, you'll do what's in your best interest, no doubt. But I expect the people who work for me, which is the government of the Bahamas, to do what's in my best interest. And when you start about you ain't familiar with the terms of no contract and all this XYZ, that's not good enough. All right? Absolutely not. Okay. A few more texts and then we're out. We got to go. It says, if the government can pay their friends, family, and lovers these astronomical salaries, then minimum wage can be at least $600 per week, waiting on my raise. Okay, so because the government, I guess, can afford to pay people big salaries, that means the minimum wage should go up for everybody? Who pays the minimum wage in this country? Because if there's 500 people making minimum wage that are employed by the public service, I'd be shocked. I'd be stunned. So the private sector pays minimum wage in this country. So just because the government that's getting taxes, the private sector's collecting for them, decides to pay certain people large salaries, does not mean that across the board, the private sector can afford to pay people $600 per week. Y'all already upset that a tin of cream has gone up by 40 cents or whatever it has. If you turn the minimum wage to $600 a week, like right away, are you going to pay $9 for a can of cream? Are you prepared for all that? Let me know. This is one, these political extra padded contracts have to stop. We're getting sued for $400,000. She's got 2 years left on the contract. That tells me your total contract was about $200,000 a year with all the perks. Wow. This one says, one, it's hard to explain pornography and stupidity, but you know it when you see it. Okay. This says, I don't know why y'all think I can read some of these things. They're completely libelous. It says, so you with your unskilled self want an increase in minimum wage when people went to college and can barely get five figures for a government job. LOL. I don't know. These things sound good. I mean, we gotta think through them, though, right? Like, just because government took our tax dollars that at the end of the day, here's what I want you to, never mind. No, I do. Here's what I want you to think about, right? Think about this. The last fiscal year, we had a deficit of over $1 billion. That means we borrowed over $1 billion just to meet government commitments. So bearing that in mind, every time you hear me talk about a question as to what the government spent and why, it's being fueled by the fact that we borrowed more than $1 billion to meet these commitments. So I don't want nobody to act shy or crazy or cut up when I'm talking to them, because if I'm lucky, I got another 40 years or so left. My children are still going to be paying back that $1 billion on top of the other $10 billion that we stacked onto that we have on the national debt. So don't act cute when we're asking you about how the government spent our money. It's our money. All right, we got to go. Lord willing, we'll be back tomorrow. You guys take care out there. Have a great day, Bahamas.
Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.